Good morning, everyone. Happy Saints Sunday. We're at the Caesars Sportsbook First Take inside the Dome right now. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak as we gear up for week one of the regular season. Preseason talk is gone and done with. We made it through the mini bye week going into the regular season. Had two games already in action with the league on Thursday, Friday football, and now Saints Sundays are back.
Yeah, man, and you know, I'm excited about it. Like, as negative as people are around this team, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, nothing anyone says matters. What matters is what happens when you go out there and play the game. So it's like, if I'm the Saints, I don't really care whether people are predicting me to come in last in the NFC South, or people are predicting we win four games, we lose by seven plus to the Cardinals. Like, all you can do is go out there and prove them wrong, right? And so we'll see. So I'm not going to sit here and be negative. What's the point of being negative? We got all season to be negative. Let's be optimistic. Like, I'm hopeful. Like, I think what I appreciate about where the Saints are right now, and what you can say about the expectations or lack thereof, is that there's going to be situations this year where teams come into the Superdome and lose a game, and they will lose their collective minds. Like, their fan base is going to go nuts. It's like, everyone told me this was the worst team in the NFL. Why aren't they the worst team in the NFL? And if that's the case, it's going to be because you have veteran leadership. The quarterbacks play within themselves, whichever one is out there. Obviously, it's going to be Spencer Rattler today. And and Kellen Moore's team plays with discipline, right? If you go back and you look at, okay, what was the story of those first two games, other than a very long lightning delay in the first one? It's the teams that won were the ones that executed and didn't make stupid mistakes in critical moments. It didn't drop easy passes to your star wide receiver in critical moments. They didn't have the best defensive player on your team forgetting how to contain a quarterback on a 3rd and 14. Like, those are mental mistakes. They are not, oh, we had the wrong scheme, we didn't have the talent. They are, weren't ready to execute in week one. And a lot of times that's the story in week one. It's not about who's the better team. It's about who plays closer to their ceiling.
I'm anxious, Jeff, to see the Dome crowd today. Week one of the season, a new era of football starting with Kellen Moore leading this squad after just winning the Super Bowl in this same building with the Philadelphia Eagles. And just, there should be this renewed type of excitement around the team. Yes, like you mentioned, expectations are not high for this black and gold bunch going into this season, but all the more to, you know, prove the doubters wrong and do a little something to show that, you know, they're getting back to relevance right now.
Yeah, I mean, the energy is going to be in the building. There's no question.
I hope so, man.
And what this team has to do is earn that.
Yes.
Right? Well, one of the defining characteristics of the Dennis Allen era was not that they lost a bunch of games. It's that they lost a bunch of games here and looked bad doing it. And you can't do that if you want your fans to show up and get excited about your team. Like, if all the Saints do this year is become a team that takes advantage of home field, then the fans will be more into it. Because they'll get out here and they'll see a good showing on the field, right? Like, you just can't have, like week 6 and 7 last year where you faced the Bucs and the Broncos and got blown out in both games. Like, how do you generate excitement around your team if they pay their good money to come here and get treated to that? Like, you just can't do that. So it's like, you have to at least show up at home and play well. You know, like, you're not going to win every game, but you got to give people something to get excited about. And that's what I'm hoping to see today. Like, I don't know. I don't know what my expectations are for this game. It's a 6.5-point spread. That's a massive home underdog.
I agree totally. That was way too high of a number for me.
Well, I mean, home teams typically get 3 points, so it's kind of like a 9.5-point underdog
right,
when you look at it that way. So, like, that's just where you are. And so I want this team to come out and play competitive, right? Like, you're not going to win every game, but I want them to at least be in the game in the fourth quarter and give themselves a chance. And that's, so many of their losses over the last 3 years have been the opposite, where you're down 20 points in the fourth quarter and the best you can hope for is to have a rally that's almost impossible, right? Like, the final score line, it's one of those, oh, the score made it look closer than it was. Like, I don't want any more of those games. I want games that you're in, and if you can't pull them out, that's one thing, but you got to be in those games.
Make it entertaining, please.
Right.
We did have some roster moves going into today's game. Saints signed defensive end Fadel Diggs to the active roster from the practice squad, and they elevated tight end Jack Stahl and defensive end Jonah Williams to the active roster for today's game against the Cardinals. And they've waived Jake Haener, so
yep.
that roster shuffling seems to be ongoing with him.
Yeah, it's not a fun life to lead as the depth quarterback, because anytime you're like in a roster crunch, which is the case because Chase Young's not going to play today, you just gotta, like, we need a roster spot. Who's it going to be? Okay, it's the third quarterback. Like,
yeah,
like, it would be nice to have him on the roster, but if the options are wave him or wave somebody else, you're gonna wave the quarterback, right? Because he's, in a perfect world, he's not going to contribute. And even in the situation where the starter gets hurt, he's not going to contribute. So, you know, that's kind of where you are.
I kind of joked to you, now the emergency number three quarterback, who is that?
I mean, I don't think they necessarily have one, right? Like, I think it'll be, you mentioned Alvin Kamara. Like, I think he'll run a lot of Wildcat. He'll do that. But here's the thing. Like, I get why teams want to have that third quarterback. If you get to that third quarterback,
you're doomed anyway.
You're in a world of trouble, whether it's a running back who's just, you know, it doesn't matter. I don't think that's a huge deal. But, yeah, I think it's telling that, you know, they're going to have a rotation at the defense, at the edge rusher spot. They don't want to be in a position where Carl Granderson and Cam Jordan go out there and play 100% of the snaps. And Brandon Staley talked about this, like, especially when you face a guy like Kyler Murray, he's going to force you to run around and contain. You need to keep those guys fresh so that in the fourth quarter, when you're playing the money downs, ideally if you have money downs in the fourth quarter, that they're fresh and they can go make those plays. Like, the way you play in the first quarter has to be the same way you play in the fourth quarter. It can't be and week ones, week twos, like early in the season, you're not really in game shape. They don't get to do enough work in the training camp anymore to be in true game shape. Like, you don't have six preseason games. You don't have 2-a-days. Like, you're going out there, and a lot of these guys are kind of getting into that in real time. And that's why I think you see some of these breakdowns late in games. Early in the season. That's why the week one, week two results, like, don't put too much stock in them, because a lot of times you just see players playing differently when they're gassed at the end of a game. So
I'll still take a week one, a week two from last year any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints, I mean, here's the thing, like, as frustrating as the Saints have been over the last
six years,
they've won every week one, dating back to 2019. They have not lost a week one game, which is honestly remarkable. But still disappointing, because it hasn't really led to much. Obviously, 2020, you know, they had a good season there. They went to the divisional round of the playoffs. Since then, it's all been 9-8 or worse. So, you know, as fun as it would be to win today, I don't think it would swing a lot of people's perceptions of this team. Let's put it that way.
Looking at some of the injuries, you mentioned that we're not going to have Chase Young in action. He sustained a quad injury, right?
Calf
injury.
Yes.
In practice on Wednesday, ended up being a no-show, no-go on Thursday and Friday's workout. So he will not take part in today's game. And not a surprise at all was Trevor Penning dealing with a toe issue as well.
Yeah, Trevor hasn't practiced. The only other player with a game day designation was Jordan Howden with an oblique injury. The good news is Alante Taylor did not have a game day designation, which is an indicator that he's going to play. The question I have is how much.
Right.
Are you going to give him a full workload, or maybe you're going to meter some of his reps? And, you know, for example, a lot of times when you're in nickel, he'll be in the star position. But when you're in base, he'll kick out to the outside corner spot, and Ike Yadin will come off the field. Is this a situation where you just keep him exclusively to the nickel reps and you have Ike play outside just to take some of that workload? We'll have to wait and see how it goes in the game. But, no, I mean, the Chase Young, I think the term you would use is abundance of caution, right? If this was week six, I don't know if they would have handled it differently. I just think you're going into week one. He hasn't got a ton of reps in the preseason. I just don't want to mess with it if there's a question that, hey, he could go out there and make it worse. You see calf injuries. It's a vague term, a calf injury. Your calf's a big muscle group, and you've seen calf injuries turn into Achilles injuries. You saw it with Aaron Rodgers, that training camp of 2 years ago. All camp, it was like, his calf tightness, he's not feeling great, but he's playing, and he goes out there and, like, what, five plays into the game, he blows his Achilles out.
What's his name from the Pacers in the finals we saw?
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton,
right?
Kevin Durant, same situation, when he was like, oh, calf injury, suddenly it's an Achilles. So you just want to play it safe. You don't want to do anything in week one that's gonna impact your entire season. And so I think that's more what this is about. Chase Young talked in the locker room, and he was asked, hey, is this something you expect to be a long-term thing? And his quote was, hell no. Like, he's like, this is not going to keep me out for an extended period of time, but you just got to kind of wait and see. And it's frustrating, right? Like, you paid him on that contract. He's on a 3-year deal. You want to see him out there. I'm sure he's as frustrated as anyone, because, you know, it is kind of the irony is, hey, and I don't know if irony is the word, but you know, this is the first game he's had with the Saints where he doesn't have a per game incentive attached to that contract. Would he have maybe pushed a little harder last year? You don't know. But I do think the Saints are going to play the long game here because, you know, he's going to be here for 3 years on that contract, right? It's not all week one of the 2025 season.
No, and I'm sure you've, you know, all the shows leading up to today's game, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, expecting big things from Chase Young this year, too.
I think everyone's expecting
big things. Thought he was going to be a double-digit sack guy.
I think everyone's expecting big things from Chase Young, and he's looked great in camp. Like, he looks like he's really kind of taken to this scheme. He's covered well. He's dropped into coverage. That athlete is there.
Even him speaking, he sounded more comfortable.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he'll get out there, and I think he's going to play well. It's just not going to be today.
Right. Unfortunately. The other guy in Trevor Penning, that's also disappointing just because you were looking forward to this guy hopefully making an adjustment to a new position where he was going to be of use to you. And now there's that question at left guard. Dylan Radins will probably step up into that role and
be your left guard
and how he's going to be doing. I know that he struggled with his time with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, you know, what I'll say for Trevor's injury is the fortunate thing for the Saints is that it happened when it did and not, you know, for example, it happened in week one of the preseason, not week three of the preseason. And I talked to Kelvin Banks about this. We'll hear his interview later in the pregame show. But, like, what they've been able to do is at least have that continuity, right? So you're not just plugging Dylan Radins in now and saying, oh, hopefully we can get it done. You've seen him working with that group for a month. You've seen him in two full preseason games getting those left guard reps. And, I, you know, we can talk about how he played with the Titans all we want. I think he's been fine at left guard. I think he's looked solid. I'm not super concerned about him at left guard. You know, I'm a little concerned with how he and the rookie kind of combine together on some if the Cardinals come out and
left side of the O-line's a little concerning.
Right. If the Cardinals come out and throw some complicated looks, some complicated stunts, how do they handle it? How do they pick it up? How do they communicate? But no, I actually think from an offensive line perspective, you know, losing Trevor is a bummer, and we'll see him at some point. He's progressing. He's out of the boot. I think he's getting closer. I think when he is back, he will get that job back. But he was a massive question mark at that position. Like, we weren't sure what he was going to look like. So it's not to say, like, it's even necessarily a downgrade, because we don't know what Trevor would have offered. So I actually think the offensive line is on lower on my list of concerns. I think they'll pick things up, and we'll see. I think in the run game is where I have the biggest question, because I think Dylan and Kelvin have played well in the pass pro game. Teron Armstead had great things to say about Kelvin Banks in the pass pro game, but in the run blocking situation, I just don't know if we've seen the push you need to get. And if you can't run the ball, this offense is going to have a hard time.
And that's something we didn't see a whole lot of Alvin Kamara in the preseason. One snap.
Oh, he didn't like. Yeah, I thought he looked great on that one snap.
That one snap, he was awesome.
Yeah, you know, he didn't even. I knew he wasn't going to play much when he came out without the tape on the back of his arms, because it's like not even worth putting that on. But yeah, one snap. You know, it was a great snap though. He looked like he was in peak, you know, midseason form.
We know what Alvin can do. They know what Alvin can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do.
We're here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Taking a break. We'll be right back with even more. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks?
It's really the first 3 weeks of the season. Everyone's got a lot of unknown factors, and so it's kind of, you got to play really clean football the first few weeks of the season. You got to really focus on the fundamentals, trust your rules. There's going to be, you know, unfortunately, some mistakes, and you got to play really clean football and give yourself a chance.
Saints head coach Kellen Moore talking about both unknowns for these teams coming into week one. There is a known now here as we continue on with our Caesar Sportsbook First Take. Adam Schefter with some late-breaking game day news, Jeff, that Kyler Murray's status for this game, he's appeared on the injury report this morning with an illness, doesn't have a game status designation, and will start, but definitely a QB under the weather. Maybe a little too much fun on Bourbon Street for Kyler.
Yeah, you know, you never know. Anytime you come into a game with an illness, I think you're happy to hear you're in a dome, right? Especially like week one in September, you don't want to be over in, you know, Jacksonville, right? Because I think the hydration is always the question there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just setting up his flu game.
Right.
You know, narrative.
You definitely worry about that always.
Yeah, because he's going to go out. Like, I don't think you could look at that and say, oh, man, you know, the Saints caught a break, because what's going to end up happening is he's going to play the best game of his life, and then that's going to be the conversation. But, no, I mean, that's a thing. Like, if you see him and he just looks – your fitness is not going to be there in week one. like we were just talking about. So if you're also dealing with
maybe the meds will make him a little drowsy.
I don't know, man, but yeah, maybe that'll help him keep him in the pocket. Because like Deuce was talking about yesterday on the show, like I need to make him a pocket passer. Yeah. I cannot afford to let him just run around and do his thing and run me ragged. Like if he goes 30 or 35, good job, man. Like you did it. But I need to force him to do that, and I need to force these wide receivers. Like Marvin Harrison's got all the talent in the world. He didn't really deliver last year, you know. But and I think that they're big wide receivers. They've got three wide receivers who are 6'2" or taller. You know, they're going to be a tough cover. I think that's where the Saints are going to struggle this year, is they don't really have that kind of physical outside man-to-man corner like they've had. Like last year they had Paulson Adebo and Marshawn Lattimore, two guys who I would qualify as the more physical corners in the league. They don't have that anymore. So are they going to kind of get bullied a little bit? We saw that in spurts with Cortland Sutton when he was playing against Kool-Aid. Like Kool-Aid had his moments, but then there were moments where it was like, oh, he can't cover Cortland Sutton. He's too big. So we'll see if that's the case today. But either way, like, I need to make Kyler beat me through the air. I can't allow Kyler to just extend drives with his legs constantly.
He can zip it, though.
He can throw it. He can, but I think his disadvantage is if you keep him in the pocket, he has a hard time seeing the throwing lanes. The same thing with Russell Wilson.
Let's hope for those batted passes.
Like, one of the reasons that he moves is not to run. It's to create lanes to throw.
Right.
And Russ was always the same way. Like, you didn't see Russ kind of running around trying to find running lanes. When they were there, he'd take them. But, like, he's trying to find viewing lanes. And if you keep him in the pocket, he might miss some reads. He might not get the ball to a wide open receiver because he can't see him. And that's just the disadvantage of being what I would guess is 5'8". You know, he's not a tall guy, even by quarterback standards. So we'll see how that goes.
Kellen Moore talking about this Arizona defense as he gets his quarterback ready, Spencer Rattler, for the week one start. Had some really glowing things to say about what Jonathan Gannon's done with Cardinals defense. Here's what Kellen Moore had to say.
Really challenging, because some of it feels like it's according to rules and some of it kind of feels like it breaks rules at times. And Jonathan and those guys have done an awesome job just developing a really, really innovative system that really stresses you from an offense perspective. They have a lot of pieces that can play a number of different roles. And so, you know, there's some gray. You know, I'd like to say there's a lot of gray within it, which, you know, can be challenging from an offense perspective.
A lot of gray in this defense, which is interesting for him to say. It's like sometimes it feels like are they doing things illegal?
No, that's not what
that's what I got out of it.
No. Rules in this context is not like rules as in, oh, they should be penalized for it. It is.
It just feels like.
No. It is, hey, we have rules. So if they do this, we do this. That's our rule, right? If they send a blitz off this side, this is how we pick it up. That's the rule. if this is what the running back does in this situation, this is what the running back does in this situation. And when you watch a defense long enough, you can pick up what their rules are. And it seems at times, like when he's saying that, he means more that at times it looks like Buda Baker is just out there doing whatever he wants to do, and it works because you can't plan for it, right? You can't say, oh, he's going to be here because this is how they defend this, because for whatever reason, we did it that before, and he was there, and this time he's there. That's what he means by breaking rules.
So
breaking
he doesn't think Arizona's
rules.
Doing shady things?
I don't think that's what he means, Steve. But, like, and that's why when Kellen talks about, hey, we're going to be playing adjustment football, it's because you have your own rules. And that's how you coach. And what if your rules don't work? What if you say, this is what we do when they do this, but it didn't work, and you have to adjust that rule on the fly and play something differently? That's what he means. And I think that happens because Buda Baker and the way the Cardinals use their secondary, and they allow them to kind of roam. So they are in spots you don't expect. And you have to kind of adjust for that, especially with a young quarterback. They disguise a ton of coverages. They roll into stuff late. They show you a look pre-snap, and then post-snap they're doing something completely different. And so that's why it's hard to account for what they're going to be doing, because it seems like they have 10 different things they can do out of every defensive alignment. And that's a tough thing to game plan against. So that's what he means.
And I know they beefed up their defense going into this year as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the defensive line is interesting. I mean, Darius Robinson, he was a draft pick last year. He only played in 6 games. But, I mean, I remember watching him at the Senior Bowl last year, and I went away being like, man, if the Saints can get their hands on this guy. Because he's kind of that 4-3 defensive end. He wouldn't really fit the system they have now. But he is that just space heater. He's huge. And he's big. He's athletic. So, now, Calais Campbell's 39 years old. He was here last year for the Cardinals. I say here. He was there last year. But He's 39 years old. That's crazy. He makes Cam Jordan look like a spring chicken.
He's fun to hear over speak as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still in the league for the same reason Cam is still in the league. Like, is he playing at his peak? Probably not. But he understands the game so well, and he's a leader that teams will keep him around as long as he's willing to stay around. You know, and we'll see how they deploy those guys. But, no, they're going to be a tough team to run against, no question.
Looking at this Saints offense led by Spencer Rattler going into the season, the black and gold we know were 0-6 when Spencer started a year ago. Not really fair looking at the talent that he was surrounded by with offensive line, wide receiver, tight end. You go on and on, all the injury issues with this team. But Kellen Moore talked about going with Spencer Rattler as his starting QB for week one of this year.
His ability to make really good decisions, whether it be with his feet or with, you know, just finding an outlet, finding a check down. You know, I thought he had some really good ones that showed up in the preseason games where, you know, he's looking one way and he realized that maybe I should have gone the other way. He finds the check down. He finds, you know, Kendre over the ball, completion, and it's another first down. And we just keep on moving. I think that's the big part of playing quarterback is, you know, you're going to make a mistake. They're going to disguise something and something's going to look a little different after the snap. And so you just got to react to it.
Yeah, looking at Spencer Rattler going into this game, I'm sure he is anxious to put all those bugaboos behind him from a year ago, all the talk about how he's 0-6 as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and it's nice to have that accoutrement of weapons now around you, at least not going into the season with so many injuries.
It's a nice use of accoutrement. I like that. That's one of my favorite words. I think if you're Spencer, like you look at last year, you're like, yeah, you won 0-6, but this game just doesn't feel like, it's your seventh start in the NFL. Like, no, this feels like a fresh start in the NFL because, let's face it, like last year, yes, he got on the field, and every young quarterback's like, man, I can't wait to get on the field. But at some level, it's got to be not like this. You know, like I'm set up to fail here, and you take experience as experience.
But right, I'm out here with the practice squad.
Yeah, and that's why I'm out here with guys who literally just got signed off the street 2 days ago,
yeah.
Right? And that's why you have to grade it as kind of an incomplete. Like, yes, there's data points you can take out of that. There's analysis you can make of how you played, where you need to be better, what you struggled with, what you succeeded with, but at the end of the day, you don't know what things would have looked like in it with a full allotment of weapons. Like some of these drops, are they going to happen with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed out there? Some of these sacks, are they going to happen if you have receivers who you can trust to get open? Are you able to run the ball more effectively if you have Alvin Kamara, if you have Kendre Miller, if you have your offensive line?
If you have Eric McCoy,
does that make your life easier as a quarterback? Absolutely, but you still have to go out there and deliver. So you can't look at this. You can't look at it and say, like, I have no concerns over what happened, but I need to see him have improved. And I think where you've seen him improve this year over last year is he's more confident in getting the ball out of his hand. Like, he's more confident in what he's seeing. He's trusting his reads. And when he doesn't trust his read, when he doesn't like what he's seeing, he is pulling the ball down and running and getting positive gains on first down, second down. Like, you can't do that every time, but I will take a +3 over a sack any day of the week. I don't need a +15. I need a positive play. I need to be in – I'll take 2nd and 8. I just can't be in 2nd and 15.
Right.
Right? I'll take 3rd and 5. I'll take 3rd and 6. I can't be in 3rd and 15. I can't live in 3rd and long because this is not going to be the type of offense that gets behind the chains and just continues. Like, if you get behind the chains in this offense, you're not going to have success. So, you know, you need to play well. You need Spencer to play well. You also need to play – on point. You can't afford penalties. You can't afford false starts, holding. Like, you got to take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And if Spencer can play that way, I think he keeps this job, right? Like, I think one of the big reasons that he has the job is that he's played that way throughout camp and the preseason. And he's been the guy that you feel like is more consistent and is going to be able to keep you in front of the chains and play on schedule. If he doesn't play that way, he's not going to keep the job very long. Like, if the coaches don't feel like he's playing the way that they need him to play, you're going to look at the rookie and say, hey, can you play that way? But for now, this is his opportunity to go out there, and, like, the reins are going to be on. This is not we're taking him off, you're going. Like, no, they're going to ask you to play a very specific way, and his job is to go out there and execute that.
You mentioned basically a fresh start for Spencer Rattler. Hopefully we're seeing a fresh start for a guy in running back Kendre Miller. Kellen Moore was asked the impressions of Miller after we know there were some past issues with the previous head coach.
I just thought he was a really consistent person, consistent player each and every day. And so, you know, I don't know whatever happened. he's done an excellent job. He ran the football really, really hard. I thought the things that showed up was his ability to catch the ball in the pass game. I thought he had some good examples of that. And then the protection was a big part, I thought, where he took a big growth step. Just as far as his ability and consistency in the protection game, you know, that's a mentally straining position, you know, when you're at running back to be able to handle all those moving pieces. And so, yeah, he's done an awesome job.
Definitely an awesome job so far. The big one of staying healthy. Obviously, that's the key.
Yeah, I mean, like, think of it this way. Like, when's the last time you felt like the Saints had a legitimate 1-2 punch at the running back position? Was it Latavius Murray?
Yeah, I was just going to go there, right?
Was it 2020 with Latavius Murray? Because you just haven't had that. I mean, they brought Mark Ingram back. Like, they've been trying to find that guy. They drafted Kendre Miller thinking he could be that guy. They didn't draft Kendre necessarily to replace Alvin.
As a supplement, right?
They drafted him to play with Alvin. And then, yeah, maybe someday down the road when Alvin is done and you flip that over and you say, hey, Kendre's the guy and we're finding someone to supplement him with. But, like, that's where you brought him in to be. And so if he can be that, this offense – makes a lot more sense, right? Because you can't ask Alvin at 30 years old to play 80% of the snaps. You can't ask him to pound his head against a wall 15 times a game. And the reason you've had to do that is because you haven't had someone you trusted behind him, right? Like, I mean, they've been given meaningful reps to Tony Jones and, yep, and guys over the last few years. It's like, oh, man, you're signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire off the street and saying maybe he has something. No, I mean, you need Kendre to be that asset that you thought he was, and you brought him in the third round. He's healthy, and that's the biggest part. Is he's been healthy throughout camp. He was able to participate in the whole program. You know, he's comfortable in the offense because he's gotten the work in. And so hopefully that translates to the field today. I think it will. I have high expectations for Kendre.
Yeah, I don't think that the rushing talent is a question with Kendre Miller. Definitely the injury history and not being able to stay on the field. And then there's also the fact of what are you able to do also to help out with the blocking?
Yeah, there's been some execution issues too. Like I don't think the protection has necessarily been a huge issue, but, you know, it's just mistakes. In, like, when he gets to the spot he's supposed to be, he makes the play. It's just been sometimes it seems like he misses calls and doesn't get to the spot he needs to get to, and then something falls apart. Green Bay last year, like, there was a good example of that. Like, he got taken out of the game because he just messed up a couple calls, and I think that was in part because he just wasn't familiar. Like, he just hadn't gotten enough work in because of all the injuries. So hopefully that's not something we and Deuce will be right on it. Like, listen to Deuce, because when Kendre messes something up, you'll be right there, you know, because he knows what the running backs are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And there's been instances this year, in preseason already, where, you know, we're blaming the offensive line for blowing a protection. And it was like, I think the running back's supposed to get over there and make that play. And he just didn't get there. So hopefully that's the type of stuff that we don't see as much this year. And again, for the Saints to win games, they're going to have to play clean football. Like, they're not going to be able to make mistakes like that and come back for them. So we'll see. Hopefully he can make turn a corner in that regard.
Saints game day's back again, folks. Caesars Sportsbook First Take rolling on. I want to remind everybody, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Taking a break. We'll be back more of a Caesars Sportsbook First Take right after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Who dat, folks?
Yeah, definitely a little different. You know, obviously more prepared. Been able to work with these guys all throughout camp and OTA, so it's been real beneficial for me. And, we're excited to get out there and show the world what we got.
Welcome back into WWL Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. That was quarterback Spencer Rattler talking about that difference of week one this year for him going into this game, knowing you're the starting quarterback,
yeah.
Kind of not just waiting in the wings after, you know, having Derek Carr be your QB1 at the start of last year, not really working with the ones in training camp leading into this game. But, you know, he got those reps and knows he's the guy right now, and it's his job to hold on to at this point.
Yeah, I think for Spencer, one of the benefits of how this camp has gone is, like, last year when you got in the game, it was not an offense that was built to your strengths at all.
No.
Like, it was an offense that was built for Derek Carr, and then you got into it. I'm sure they tailored some calls, maybe tailored some game plans to what he did well, but it was on the fly at best. This year, it's like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's stuff that was kind of installed throughout camp where, okay, this is something that we like for Tyler. Like, Tyler had a lot more of the QB run game, you know, whereas you didn't see as much of that with Spencer. because I think that's just something that helped Tyler settle in. And it's just not, you know, I don't think that's – I think Spencer is more of a scrambler than a kind of read option quarterback. And so just stuff like that. Like there's going to be elements of this game plan that I think are there because he runs them well. And that just wasn't going to be the case last year. Now, one thing that Kellen and Spencer both talked about is, like, this has been collaborative, right? Like, when you're a rookie in the NFL, I think there's a natural tendency to just be a yes man, to be like, okay, can you do this? Yep, I can do it. Okay, does this work for you? Yep. You know, you're trying to just not lose the job.
Exactly. Right? Whatever you need me to do.
In this case, I think he's a lot more confident in being able, I just don't like this read. Like, this doesn't work for me. And you might talk through that and be like, sure, well, we have to do this because of this and this and that. But, like, those conversations, that collaboration has to happen. And, you know, maybe he feels a little bit more comfortable because of the first-year head coach, because, you know, Kellen Moore, like, he was here before Kellen Moore. He knew he could show Kellen Moore around the building.
Right.
You know, so, you know, maybe that helps. And I do think we've seen a confident Spencer Rattler. Now, is his ceiling high enough? We're going to find out. I don't know. Like, he kind of strikes me as a backup, an NFL backup, right? Like, and we'll see if maybe he does have more to offer than that. But, you know, it's a tough situation for the Saints to be in, because you just, like, you're committing to a guy right now that you don't know what his long-term outlook is. And, you know, what he does today might not be what he does in week 6 and week 12, and you can't overreact to that. But I don't know how long his leash is going to be. And how long are you going to let it ride out? So there's pressure on Spencer to deliver right away. It's a tough spot to be in for a quarterback, for any quarterback.
Well, yeah, because you have a second-round pick that was just taken, you know, breathing down your neck, even though we've heard Coach Kellen Moore say that, you know, it's not going to be one of those situations here where the one guy's looking over his shoulder thinking he's going to get yanked.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and that's the right thing to say. and to their credit, I don't think it's like, hey, we have Spencer here and week 6 is where we're going to change. Week 12 is where we're going to, like.
Right, but if things aren't working. And
that doesn't mean that the results and how things go will not change that throughout the course of the season, right? And you and whether you're prepared to do that, whether you're forced to do that, is two kind of different things. But the result is the same. And, it, you know, I don't think the, like, wins and losses will necessarily be the reason you make a switch. But if you make a switch, it'll be, is the quarterback the reason? If you're losing games, is it because of the quarterback? Is it because of bad turnovers? Is it because of spotty execution? Is it because of missed reads, right? If that's the case, then I think you make a change. If you're losing games because, you know, the defense isn't stopping anybody and, you know, you're allowing 40 points, and it's like, yeah, that's not on the quarterback. So I think there is some nuance that goes into it. But, you know, all Spencer can do is go out there and play well and execute the plan. And if that's not enough, it's not enough.
One thing's for sure, the Saints have a new tall target for this offense, whoever's at the helm at quarterback. Spencer Rattler talked about working with Devon Vellet.
I think you got it.
I know
Vellet.
He's done great. I mean, he's super smart, super reliable. For him to come in and already know, you know, our install for this week is pretty impressive. So he's been great. I feel like we're starting to get some chemistry down and want to continue to build that, you know, before the game.
How helpful is that for you guys just to have, like, for you to have a big target like that, third down, red zone, stuff like that?
Very helpful. You know, having a guy like that, you know, can go catch the ball at a high point and, you know, fight through contact and stuff like that. And we got other guys that can do that as well. But, you know, with his frame, I think he's going to be very useful for our offense.
Devon Vellet, 6'5", 210 pounds, wide receiver they acquired from the Denver Broncos. Curious to see how much he's involved still with this offense. Came very late in the process here, so not sure how comfortable or how, you know, up to speed he is with this offense right now. I'm sure there's going to be certain packages, especially in the red zone for him.
Yeah, red zone, third down. Yeah. I think that's what you're going to focus on. And, I'm curious, you know, I think the question's more so how many snaps is he in on? How many packages do you have installed for him? And, you know, like, the version of Devon that we see this week is not going to be the version that we necessarily see.
Agreed, yeah.
Throughout his whole tenure here. And remember, like, one of the reasons that I was okay with this trade, and I know a lot of people freaked out about the draft pick they sent and the age, he's 27, is he's under contract for 3 more years. So if he goes out there and isn't a factor in today's game, like, that's not the end of the world. You're going to keep building. And I will tell you, like, anytime, you talk to a quarterback and they're just like, yeah, I love having those tall guys. Because you're able to just throw balls that you couldn't throw otherwise. Like, when's the last time the Saints had a legitimate contested catch receiver?
Jimmy Graham.
I would say Michael Thomas, but okay, fine, Jimmy Graham. Like you haven't had a guy that you felt comfortable just throwing the ball up to in a couple of years now. And not that you don't trust those receivers, just that that's not the best part of their game. You have smaller guys. So
hoping Juwan could be more of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about receiver.
Like, I got you.
Yeah, you can add tight ends.
No, receiver-wise, it feels like it's been a while since we've had that big, tall,
right, guys who play on the outside.
Guy, right.
Guys you can just put on the outside, send everyone to the other side, and say, we're getting a one-on-one matchup, we're going to test it, and we're going to win it.
Little Jordan Humphrey?
maybe. That might be the right answer.
Taking a break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. We'll be back with even more as we get ready for game day, a noon kickoff in the Dome. Cardinals, Saints, wear your gold, folks, as well. They're going to be sporting their new gold jerseys today. I got my old school Deuce McAllister on right now. Taking a break here on our First Take show. Be back with even more as we get ready for kickoff on WWL. Who dat? Closing out our first hour of the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, we are here on WWL, getting ready for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff when the Cajun Cannon will join us at 10 a.m. From the Countdown to Kickoff, that'll lead right into game time. Way atop the Superdome in the WWL booth. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister on the call, bringing you all the action of Saints versus Cardinals. That noon start in the Caesars Superdome of Week 1, and all the NFC South opponents are early starts this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you get used to these noon starts, people. That's all I have to say. There's a lot of them. We do have some afternoon starts, too, but I don't know. Like, I think, as Devon Gotcha put it, like, there's going to be some parties at noon in the Superdome.
Still waking up from that late night of LSU, but we'll be back with even more First Take. So stay tuned right after this on WWL. Who dat, folks?